each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Indeed, the winds have changed. Social, cosmic
upheaval.
So
that's a good way of saying it.
We need to pray.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
O Mary, you shine continuously on our journey as a sign of salvation and hope. We entrust ourselves to you, health of the sick, who at the foot of the cross were united with Jesus, suffering and persevered in your faith. Protectress of all people, you know our needs, and we know that you will provide, so that as at Cana in Galilee, joy and celebration may return after this time of trial. Help us, Mother of Divine Love, to conform ourselves to the will of the Father and to do what Jesus tells us. For he took upon himself our suffering and burdened himself with our sorrows to bring us through the cross to the joy of the resurrection. We fly to your protection. O Holy Mother of God, do not despise our petitions in our necessities, but deliver us always from every danger, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
pray for us.
Holy Mary, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Father all-powerful, have mercy on us. Jesus, eternal Son of the Father, Redeemer of the world, save us. Spirit of the Father and the Son, boundless life of both, sanctify us. Holy Trinity, hear us. Holy Spirit, who proceedest from the Father and the Son, enter our hearts. Holy Spirit, who are equal to the Father and the Son, enter our hearts. Promise of God the Father, have mercy on us. Ray of heavenly light,
have mercy on us.
Author of all good,
have mercy on us.
Source of heavenly water,
have mercy on us.
Consuming fire,
have mercy on us.
Ardent charity,
have mercy on us.
Spiritual unction,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of love and truth,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of wisdom and understanding,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of counsel and fortitude,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of knowledge and piety,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of the fear of the Lord,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of grace and prayer,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of peace and meekness,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of modesty and innocence,
have mercy on us.
Holy Spirit, the Comforter, have mercy on us. Holy Spirit, the Sanctifier,
have mercy on us.
Holy Spirit, who governs the Church,
have mercy on us.
Gift of God the Most High,
have mercy on us.
Spirit who fills the universe,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of the adoption of the children of God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Spirit, inspire us with horror of sin. Holy Spirit, come and renew the face of the earth. Holy Spirit, shed thy light in our hearts. Holy Spirit, engrave thy law in our hearts. Holy Spirit, inflame us with the flame of thy love. Holy Spirit, open to us the treasures of thy graces. Holy Spirit, teach us to pray well. Holy Spirit, enlighten us with thy heavenly inspirations. Holy Spirit, lead us in the way of salvation. Holy Spirit, grant us the only necessary good. Holy Spirit, inspire us in the practice of good. Holy Spirit, grant us the merits of all virtues. Holy Spirit, make us persevere in justice. Holy Spirit, be thou our everlasting reward. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, send us thy Holy Spirit. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, pour down into our souls the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, grant us the spirit of wisdom and piety. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Let us pray. Grant, O merciful Father, that thy divine Spirit may enlighten, inflame, and purify us, that he may penetrate us with his heavenly dew and make us fruitful in good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who with thee in the unity of the same Spirit liveth and reigneth for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. These are beautiful litanies. I tell you, this is really so needed today, wisdom and piety and the gifts of all these that we petition for. And, you know, as we were praying this, we're preparing for the Feast of Pentecost, which is really the feast of the birthday of the Church. It's the feast that inaugurates the mission of the Church. And as I was reflecting on this, and as I was preparing my letter earlier in the week, I've kind of switched over to the Holy Trinity because I'm preparing for the following week as I'm leaving Sunday evening. But I'll share this at some point, perhaps in the course of the program today or tomorrow, at least. But one of the things that, you know, because the faith is not easy, quite frankly, you know, and I take great solace in St. Paul, who writes that he speaks of the intensity of the struggle against the spirit of the world, which brings us to say with St. Paul that we know that all creation is groaning and in labor pains, and not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we await the redemption of our bodies. And even with regard to prayer, we take solace in the words of St. Paul, who reminds us the Spirit too comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes with an inexpressible groaning, interceding for the holy ones according to God's will. And, you know, as we were praying the chaplet or the litany, I was thinking about that, how these, it's really the Spirit working in the Church through individuals in the Church in the mystical body of Christ, that we have these beautiful, absolutely beautiful prayers that speak what we're not able to speak, you know. Isn't that the truth, really, when you think about it? Because even, you know, there was a time in the 1970s when I went to the seminary in the late 1970s and into the 80s, that, you know, it was the formula prayer or prepared prayers were kind of frowned on, and, you know, you had to pray from the heart, and indeed you do. But what happens is, and what I noticed is that I would develop my own prayer from the heart, which became basically a formula prayer, because it was, I found that every time I'd pray the same thing. And even to this day, I'm praying the same prayers. But in addition to that, these other prayers are so rich and so deep, and they convey and communicate what I'm not able to.
I find it sometimes, too, it's like you want to come in you just come in sometimes and your mind is just everywhere. But I've noticed that even with the litanies, you really don't know what to pray until you start saying them.
Sure.
And then it's almost like it's like the rosary sometimes, when it puts you in a state of mind, because there's moments, and I find this even for me lately, I can't pray the rosary sometimes. So I'll use the different beads with, you know, Jesus, I love you.
Right.
Jesus, you know, I'm thinking of you. Jesus, help me. Or Jesus, help me, I'm a poor sinner.
Right.
Something like that. And I find with the litanies, you don't know, but they're so beautifully stated that you just keep...
You can't improve on it. It says everything, doesn't it, really?
It just kind of centers you and focuses you into the thought of, you know, God.
So that you mentioned the rosary, and that's... I kind of concluded this letter, you know, after I said that even with regard to prayer, we take solace in the words of St. Paul, who said that the Spirit who comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes with inexpressible groanings, interceding for the holy ones according to God's will. And that there's no wonder that the rosary is a favorite prayer of Catholics, because like the apostles, and don't know if we hear this, because this coming Sunday, with the Feast of Pentecost, which is the feast of the birth of the church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's the vigil, actually the vigil the night before. There's so many readings and so many prayers that are prayed that are so rich and so beautiful. And so it might come into one of those readings, but it certainly does. We have that 3-year cycle, so I don't think it's this year, but in one of those years, we read from the Acts of the, and maybe it is this year, but from the Acts of the Apostles, how the apostles were in the cenacle in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary in prayer for those 9 days, which is when we get the novena, and that's why we're doing the litany of the Holy Spirit during these 9 days, because we're in that 9-day period, the novena. All the novena comes from these 9 days, from the Ascension to Pentecost. So when we pray the rosary, it's in essence we're like the apostles with the rosary. They didn't have the rosary, but I'm saying with the rosary, we become like the apostles. We enter the cenacle in the company of the Holy Mother of God. And as she prayed with them and for them, she prays with us and for us. Because as St. Paul said so rightfully and so beautifully, and I say this is a source of great consolation and solace, even we who have the Spirit, we know not how to pray, but the Spirit intercedes with inexpressible groaning. You know, I mean, why is it that we even ask others to pray for us? Because we feel this certain inadequacy, a certain inadequacy to our own prayers. And yet, that's part of the human condition. You know, we're men weak in the flesh. We're sinful. We're bound to time and space. This is as if Jesus himself. He wasn't sinful. He didn't sin. He became sin because he took our sins to himself on the cross. But his own humanity imposed certain restrictions on his divinity, even though he was fully human, fully divine. Being in the flesh, his humanity put certain restrictions on his divinity. So for this, he longed for this return to the Father, return to the homeland. But he came to do the will of the Father, which was to atone for our sins, to redeem us, and to really basically lay out the blueprint, show us a way. But so Jesus, if we could say that of God in the flesh, you know. How much more, certainly, of ourselves, because we're not gods, but we attain to this sanctification of our lives so that we're more fully and deeply transformed into the, or that Jesus reproduces life in us, so that, you know, the goal of our lives as Christians is to be able to say, like St. Paul, it's not I who live, but Jesus Christ who lives in me. And yet, thank God for Paul, because Paul will even point out his own inadequacies, his own weakness, and the like, you know, so... when you think about it, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but a lot of God, right? And yet we're, as I was saying the other day, I think on Tuesday when we were on the radio, I was reflecting on my own years in the priesthood and the just being humbled at that Mass Monday night, and that stays with me, you know, because this is incomprehensible. You know, our very faith, what is central to our faith is the Holy Eucharist, because that's God with us, you know, under the hidden guise of bread and wine. But it's an incomprehensible mystery. We can't think too hard about that. Just as much as I was preparing for the Feast of the Holy Trinity, which sometimes you can see I'm way ahead of myself, but to be honest, that's the one. I mean, writing is not easy. Period. Sometimes. It comes, but it's, you know, things flow so beautifully or so effortlessly. But for the most part, you wrestle with the Word of God, and you wrestle with your own thoughts, and you know you're getting in the way, you know, you and all that. But when I in the last couple of days, I've been really wrestling with the Trinity, that, you know, that to write this letter, and I. As I'm doing this, I'm how do you convey this mystery that is incomprehensible? Three persons and one God. There's something about the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, the triune God, that makes clear sense to me completely, but not in a way that I can convey it or communicate it in a proper way. Right. Absolutely. But it is a manifestation of God's superior wisdom, really, because it is—it's reflected in the whole of God's creation, you know. But anyway, maybe we'll get into that as well, perhaps. But I do, before we take a break, first of all, how are you?
Good.
Tony and Nick is over there. He's doing fine, I can see. What a horrible tragedy, the killing of George Floyd. You know, I'll tell you the truth, quite honestly, just the image itself. I just saw the picture.
It's a little sickening. Yeah.
I could not even watch the news last night. The picture just was so atrocious, so horrible, that it sickened me. And last night it was, because I had been wrestling with this letter anyway, and by the time I got to the end of the day and I was in my room where I, you know, and I think there's a point where I had to put the letter aside and say, you know, I just can't, I'm up against a brick wall. I've got writer's block, thought block, you know, I couldn't do anything. And very frustrated because I've got to meet these deadlines, you know, and so I want this done and out of the way so that I can move on to other things I've got to do, you know, right? So I, by the way, I understand clearly, I was thinking about this as well, when Peter said, or the apostles, but I think it's Peter said, we must ordain the deacons because we need to devote ourselves to prayer. And this has been in my thought all day yesterday and even as I went into the day because, you know, to proclaim God's word, and inadequate as I feel so often doing that, it's a struggle. It doesn't come easy, and you need to have time devoted to prayer. Now, we live in a society that is about doing, right? And so prayer in the mind of many is time wasted, when in fact it's essential time in order to be properly in the work of life, or in the case of a priest, to be able to, you know, to live with authenticity the consecration, the priesthood, and to be able to, you know, proclaim with authenticity the truth of God's word, knowing that, you know, who's my worst enemy? I'm my worst enemy, because I have my own inclinations and my own, you know, my own, when I say that, I mean the, you know, I always say it's like certain axes that I grind. I'm grinding and grinding and grinding, and I do this often, I'm sure, on the radio. But I was thinking about that because I was thinking, I got all these things I got to do, and yet I'm spending all this time in the chapel, because I spend a lot of time in the chapel when I'm trying to prepare the, this, in fact, I have a little desk, a little, you know, I have it's my holy desk, I call it, because that's where I, you know, spend my, where, that's where I do my writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a place of great pain, because you're trying to grasp into this mystery and know how to convey, to communicate that mystery to others. And it's just, you know, feeling always this inadequacy. So anyway, finally, by the end of the day, I put it aside. I just can't do anymore. And thought I'd just kind of go up and, as I do in the evening, catch the news a little bit here, a little bit there. And I couldn't. I couldn't because of this image of George Floyd. So what I do is, because I don't have a television, so I have to download through YouTube the different news sites that I go to get the news. And I couldn't. I found that I just couldn't sit with it. I didn't want to hear it because it was just too painful, too painful. Very sad, but it's also symptomatic of this tipping point that we seem to have come to, where we just seem to be going off the precipice into an abyss if we don't get a hold of ourselves as a people. And so, then when I finally woke up this morning early and got to the chapel before anything else, I made my bed first. I always do that first. Made the sign of the cross, but then I went to the chapel and, you know, thank God, you know, with an uncluttered mind, I was able to pull this. I had clarity of thought, mm-hmm. and I felt pretty good about it. But I mean, about what I wrote. The other thing, and we'll take a break. We'll come back. I have this beautiful poem called Docility, and you know, I don't know. Do you know we have a poet in our midst?
Really?
Did you know that? Yeah. Did you know Barb is a poet?
Barb's a poet, really?
Barb Harriman. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going to share this with you. I've read a lot of her poetry over the years. She worked at the Holy Trinity. She's been a principal in many different schools, Catholic schools, and as of late was vice principal at Holy Trinity and taught there for many years. And then she just retired last year, I think it was. And so, but she also works here at St. Stanislaus, volunteers her time, and she's head of the catechetical program and the like. But she's a poet, and I've read her poetry. It's often they're very short and you know, very, very profound. But this one, and you'll see when we come back as I share it with you, it really challenges us to put things in perspective. And so I look forward to sharing this with you. But this is, it's called Docility. But before we do that, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Everybody, don't go away. I am Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Governors have deemed liquor stores and abortion clinics as essential, but have left out churches and other houses of worship. So I'm correcting this injustice and calling houses of worship essential.
In light of the president's acknowledgement of our right to pray in our houses of worship as essential, how will the Illinois governor and Chicago's mayor respond to that acknowledgement of the obvious First Amendment rights of the free exercise of religion guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution? Certainly, social distancing and safety protocols need to be in place. Make your feelings known to our local political leaders. Periodically, we'll be discussing the issue of religious liberty and safety in the age of COVID-19 on Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic, the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. 2435. Thank you. Pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with us at 3 p.m. Central Time, streamed live from St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Go to the St. Stanislaus Kostka Church Facebook page and pray with us daily at 3 p.m.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, yeah, we do the chapel at the chaplet, chaplet in the chapel, because I'm happy to say that the church is open, not 24/7. We're hoping to move toward that, but it is open. Please, people, understand it's open now. St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open Monday to Friday, 1 to 9, and also we're going to open up on Saturday. 5 to 9, and Sunday from 2 to 9.
Wow.
2 to 9 or 2 to 10. One of those days it's going to go to 10 o'clock, but let's just say 5 to 9 Saturday, 2 to 9 on Sunday. So I'm really happy about that. We want to do this 7 days a week. We want to get so people get it in their they can kind of get back into the space of sanctuary, because the hope is that sooner than later we go back into the 24/7, because that's the call that's come to us, and we want to fulfill that call. Because we can't keep it open, because we can't have public mass, right? And that's so right. Or even public prayer. That's why the chaplet, whereas during the lockdown I was doing the chaplet from the church proper. Now that we've got the church open, I have to do it in the chapel privately. Isn't that strange? It seems really strange, but it's just the way it is.
As long as it gets out and people can sit, because It's a special time.
So it's at 3 o'clock. We have, and that's through Facebook, But yes, so anyway, this docility, I just want to share this with you. It's really beautiful, and it helps to, I think, put things in perspective. So let me read it. This is from Barb Herman, who is here nearly every day working, volunteering her services, her time. She writes this, docility. In this COVID war, we wrangle and blame, accuse a non-existent cabal of inciting fear, as if the pictures of refrigerator trucks packed with the deceased, parked outside the New York City hospitals, while the gurneys of the newly diagnosed are parked in hospital corridors, or of the dead wrapped in sheets littering the streets of Guayaquil, are not enough to bring home the truth that there is danger. In an age of cell phones with embedded cameras and access to a web of communication, the news media, unfettered by discipline or perspective, is us. We troll anxiously for immediate answers and cures, even if dubious, searching like lawyers for anything to support our preconceived notions, for fear breeds suspicion and unrest of mind, soul, and spirit, and we seek answers, answers now. Step back from this fray, and like a general on a hill, see what is before you, the armies of good and evil, engaged in battle. Who is God but creative Lord that sacrifices all for other? The Trinity of perfect harmony, unity. God's army, united and docile before the supreme commander, eyes on the master's hand. Who is Lucifer but he who will not serve, the trickster and deceiver? Lucifer's army, sowing discord, separation, suspicion, and disobedience, hiding their identity as thieves in the night. Pentecost is near. We remember and celebrate the coming of God as His Spirit. We believe that His inspiration creates goodness in the world through the gifts enumerated as wisdom, courage, counsel, understanding, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness and gentleness, self-control, should guide us to identify the army we want to join, even if it is difficult to tell based on their uniforms. In our time, we have practiced a lack of docility. We lack a submissive attitude toward God, no fear of the Lord. This Pentecost, pray that we enlist in God's army, united and docile before our supreme commander. Come, Holy Spirit, bring us fear of the Lord. It's very beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice.
It puts things in perspective, because I should say myself, certainly, I run the temptation of, looking, because I'm following this and that and whatever, and you, who do you believe? I think on Sunday, I was speaking about that. It's okay to ask a question, I think, right. This is, we can't be chided for not asking the question, because we are so confused, and you can't, and as I said, Sunday, you can't put your head in the sand, and you can't pretend that that everything is fine and good when, in fact, it's not. There's a we've reached a tipping point. Maybe we always have. Maybe we're always on the precipice. We can always go over. But on the Feast of the Ascension, I shared this with you last week, but, these days many are confused, many are disoriented, full of doubt, and We were like the disciples who were befuddled, looking into the sky, wondering about this Lord who had been taken away from them, disappeared from their sight. And we wonder, has the Lord been taken away from us? Has he gone? Has he left us to fend for ourselves? But, you know, we look for someone to show us a way, and we get all these conflicting, well, I shouldn't say even opinions, because the experts, you know, we put a lot of weight into what they say, whether it be religious or political or scientific, health experts, and we get these conflicting responses, right?
Yeah.
And so it creates even more confusion. And so we have this temptation of then, you know, we'll delve into this or that or whatever conspiracy theory. And, you know, then you even say, well, is it or is it not a conspiracy? What's really going on? What's behind all this? And as you kind of points it out in the poem, you know, at the root of this is what? But Lucifer, you know, Lucifer, which means light, the angel of light, who comes and he's really the prince of darkness.
I guess we all should just look deeper into things.
Got to look deeper.
There's got to be something more than, you know. And I think about how people, I mean, all through history, you know, you do things because somebody tells you to do things, but then you look at it as, I don't know if this is right or wrong. It's not a matter of, you know, just do it because I tell you to do it, but there also has to be that sense of if this is right or if this is wrong. And I think we lose track of that when we give in to fear or we give in
to... Give in to fear. This,
you know, that's what it is.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was thinking, just like, in Nazi times, it's like you give in to fear. I mean, sometimes people do things because they're told to do things, but you got to look more than that. You know, there's got to be a sense of right and wrong that I think is kind of missing in our world today.
Yeah, it's still, which is frightening in the sense that, you know, you mentioned Germany, Nazism.
Mm-hmm.
It really does boggle the mind. It's, although I have to say more and more, I begin to think I can understand.
Yeah.
But you say, what would make an entire nation? And it wasn't an entire nation. It was a certain percentage, and really a small percentage, of people who bought into that.
But see, that's the thing.
And Nazism, right?
And I get this from Father Kois, because he's a history. It's something about when you look, and I've seen so many like documentaries and how people even at the time did what they thought they were supposed to do. Like the state or whatever the case may be, I was just doing my job in a sense without knowing, you know, the right and wrong of it. And then I guess later on, people thought about, wow, this was such a bad thing. And was I wrong? Was I really wrong to just do what I was told instead of thinking, you know, this is, I mean, when I think of what went on and how people just, it's just sickening to think that people would have even thought that this is what we should do. And if you look in history, you see this all the time, even to the present day. It's just, and now I think I go back to what Barb's poem, how it's Satan veiled in that center of it. So if you're one of those people that don't really, that kind of just eat up everything that you're told and you don't really think for yourself or look into things, you can be led down a wrong path. And it takes us all to sit and, you know, like you said, it's not that you can't answer their question. But when you have people chiding you for asking questions, then you think something's not right. You know, radar, your warning sign goes on. You know, think this through. That's why even like in arguments sometimes, and when people get, you know, upset or they argue, if you don't think something through, you tend to say and do things out of anger.
Right, and we've got to be grounded somewhere, and that grounding has to be in God.
If anything, now in this time, and I think it's even for years now, me personally, I've been seeing how this has to be done, and I like you, have been thinking that okay, well, people are just generally good, but they don't know sometimes. You know, we know that church is important. You know, mass is important. The meaning of why we do the things we do is important. Others look at that sometimes and say, well, why do you do that? Or I don't have the time for that. And these are people, and I was even kind of thinking about this on Sunday, about how there's two churches in a sense. And it's a time when I think we have to decide as Catholics, are we talking the talk or walking the walk in a sense, knowing what we need to know. And if we don't know it, learning what we need to learn. And it's like I love Lent so much because I take that walk with Jesus. You know, I make it a sense in the 40 days to try to put myself in his shoes. And when you do that, in a sense, you can see a lot of things for me personally have come out of that.
Yeah, so you know, it's interesting you say that, because I find, you know, what do I keep saying during this pandemic? You know, be safe, be sane,
right,
be strong, keep the faith. Because people feel unsafe.
Yeah.
People feel they're going a little bit, you know, they're losing their sanity. They feel weak and vulnerable.
Yeah.
And the faith is being put to the test, you know. And so I find for myself, you know, no doubt that I spend more time in prayer, not because and it's not out of fear that I pray, but it's to try to understand what is happening and how to navigate, and to be able to have the, you know, this discernment of spirit, so that I don't, because because we live, you know, we're not flying high. You know, I haven't said that in a long time, have I? We're not flying high, but we're not up in a cloud, or we don't have our heads in the sand. We're living this reality. And so yet naturally, as she writes so beautifully in this poem, we're almost desperate to find the truth. But we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we not, in our own naiveness, be led down a road that is not proper to who we are as Christians. You know, there's got to be docility. Docility is a powerful word, docility. That there isn't this self-righteous anger, or that really comes from fear and anxiety, so that we're looking for some messianic figure, somebody who's going to save us. You know, Lord, save us. Well, he's the commander, right? He's the commander of the army, and we are in a battle. There's no doubt that we are in a battle, but this need to pray to in order to navigate through this this diabolical disorientation, a time of great disorientation, in order to know how to lead the people, how to be that, as Jesus always says, you got to be the leaven, you got to be the salt, you got to be light in the darkness. Before we take the break, I just want to say real quick, because I've been, for some reason last week, I was listening to survivors of the Holocaust. Did I mention that on the radio?
I don't think you did.
I just find the stories fascinating and also shocking. Just like, you know, again, the image of this George Floyd, this man who was, you know, the knee into his neck, and he died. That image is so horrible, sickening, and it conjures up, you know, images of, or the things that I listen to, you know, these people who were survivors. Now, most of them have probably already died, because these are interviews that might have taken place a long time ago. But what they went through, what they were subjected to, and you mentioned about, Father Coyes has spoken about the people who thought they were doing what they were supposed to do. Well, how can you justify the dehumanizing and the torture and the extermination of other human beings. How can you in any way get to that kind of enter into that kind of evil? And yet I remember there's just a couple of things, you know, I wanted to say real quick, and that was the two things that I saw. One was the Germans who were brought into the concentration camp after the liberation of the Jews. And they were, I don't know if it was the Americans or the Soviets who brought them in, because certain camps were liberated by different, you know, the Allied, it was either the Soviets or the United States, mm-hmm. and perhaps Great Britain, I don't know. But I know the Americans liberated some of the camps, and the Soviets liberated other camps, because I listened to these people who survived because they were there for the liberation. And but there was actually a video of this, a clipping of the Germans who were then the Germans who just everyday Germans living normal lives, quote supposedly normal lives, but had no idea. Supposedly didn't realize the atrocity that was going on behind those walls, the walls of the concentration camps. And so I believe it was Auschwitz that they show them going into, they give them the chance to go in into the camp. And so they're doing this, and they're, you know, they show them going in, and they're, you know, like anybody, when you got a crowd of people and a lot of women, and they're jovial, and they're talking, and they're laughing, and they're carrying on, you know, just as people are. I'm thinking of like when you take kids on a field trip, and on the way, you know, they're having a great time, and they're conversing with each other and the like. And so, you know, there was perfectly seemingly normal and jovial, and then they show them coming out of the concentration camp, and the contrast was so striking. The horror and the shock of what they had seen, because they were, this is right in the aftermath of the liberation, and they wanted, the liberators wanted them to see under your nose what was happening. It was horrific. It was very, very telling. The other thing that I remember watching some time ago, but it was quite interesting as well, was the interview with Adolf Hitler's housekeeper. It's fascinating. She was completely oblivious. She was a young girl who went in, was hired, and you know, and even in her old age, she speaks about, you know, the great privilege she had in being able to, you know, work. Or to be, to live, and to be the housekeeper and the cook and the cleaner and all that for Adolf Hitler. But, yes, feeling remorse for what had happened, but at the time, it didn't cross her mind.
See, that's interesting. That's why there's always two or three sides to a story. You know, I always...
But that we not succumb to such a thing, you know? This is how easily we can be deceived.
Yeah.
And we got to watch ourselves. That's why if we lose faith, if we're not nurturing faith in God, if we're not reflecting on Scripture, if we're not praying, if we're not open to the inner workings of God's Spirit, we succumb to some spirit.
Yeah,
some spirit. And again, Lucifer, she mentions in her poem, Lucifer comes. He's a deceiver.
Yep.
The devil's a deceiver. He comes as light when in fact he's darkness. So okay, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic, the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kloska Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. 2435. Thank you. Pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with us at 3 p.m. Central Time, streamed live from St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Go to the St. Stanislaus Kostka Church Facebook page and pray with us daily at 3 p.m.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
As we sit home or are doing the necessary and often courageous jobs for your family and others, Father Anthony invites you to be with us Sundays, where you will see the English, Spanish, and Polish Masses on the St. Stanislaus Kostka Facebook homepage. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church will keep you updated via flocknote.com or by texting the word Kostka, spelled K-O-S-T-K-A, to 845-76, or via the St. Stanislaus Kostka homepage on Facebook, plus the parish website, ststanschurch.org. Keep listening for more information on Winds of Change, Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. As always, we ask you to lift your voice to God, our rock and our shelter.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we kind of wrap up. And why don't we say kind of? I haven't kind of. As we wrap up. So I'm going to jump ahead of myself only because I'm, and today's Thursday, by the way, so tomorrow's mm-hmm. Friday, which means, you know, we're still moving toward the Feast of Pentecost. But I'm going to jump ahead to the solemnity of the Holy Trinity, because I've been really reflecting on this yesterday and today. And the readings are very interesting now. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he encourages the Christians to greet one another with a holy kiss, a holy kiss. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, today, you know, we're discouraged from such a greeting.
Can't do that anymore.
No kiss, no handshake.
No handshake.
Keep a distance, at least 6 feet, one from another. Wear a mask. Barriers are erected to keep us apart. And all these measures are taken to keep us healthy and mm-hmm. to prevent the spread of the virus, but they're contrary to our nature as social human beings. Mm-hmm. Now, we adhere to the measures because fear of the virus ignites within us that survival instinct. And it's not only concern for our personal survival, but also that of others. Nonetheless, we recoil at the thought of the isolation so often associated with a pandemic. And rightfully so, because we're not meant to be alone. As the church celebrates, you know, in a week and a half, the solemnity of the Holy Trinity, we're reminded that we are social beings because God, who set life into motion, is a social being. God is a communion of three persons, distinct but one. And this communion of three persons in one God is the glue that holds all creation and all humanity together. So during this time when people feel vulnerable and lacking control, God seizes the opportunity to bestow grace and fill the void left in the absence of others. So true to his nature, he shows himself as calm in the storm, the balm of Gilead, which means a soothing anointment to alleviate the pain. If we allow ourselves this grace, we have to open ourselves to the grace. God, in his supreme wisdom, uses the crisis to restore to restore in us holy communion with the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sanctifier, that is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because without God, there's no survival. To reject God eventually ends in self-imposed condemnation. And now often in adversity and strife, we return to the source of life. We reach to God, who we may have forgotten or from whom we've kept ourselves socially distant. Get that? Socially mm-hmm. distant. He comes to us as he came to Moses. He proclaims his name, Lord, and he identifies himself as merciful and gracious, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. But we have to do what Moses did, how he responded. Moses bowed down to the ground in worship and humbly asked the Lord to find favor in him, to come along in the company of the people who were stiff-necked and in need of pardon from their wickedness and sins. And Moses asked God, receive them as your own. Now, based on everything that's going on, we'd be hard-pressed to deny that we are stiff-necked and in need of pardon from our wickedness and sins. Every day we follow the news, we're disheartened by the immorality, the violence, the bigotries, the hatreds, the racism, the selfishness, the greed that disrupt our communion as members of the human race. Now, in a paradoxical way, the social distancing invoked by the virus has the benefit of bringing us back to the Father who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so the Holy Spirit emanating from the Father and the Son can restore to our lives and to the life of our society civility, because civility is what defines the triune God. To refuse God further deteriorates the civility of our society and brings us to the abyss of savagery, man's inhumanity to man. And from the downward spiral into the abyss of human degradation, the question is, do we have the humility to reach our hand into the hand of God and be pulled out of isolation and away from loneliness, anger, and fear, and to be restored to right relationship with God, with others, and with ourselves? So how ironic, really, think about it, that Christians are called to greet each other with a holy kiss, and yet today we're called to keep a space of 6 feet, one from another. Again, God seizes the opportunity to place himself in this space, which is really proper to himself, right? God first. I suggest, perhaps, our greeting one to another has been anything but holy. So, you know, in other words, it's trying to discern, you know, what's going on and where's God in all this and where are we? And do we have the humility to, as I say, put our hand into the hand of God? So the question is it unthinkable that we would one day see a return to the traditional salutation, praised be Jesus Christ? And the response to the greeting was, now and forever, amen. There was a time when that's how people greeted each other. Can you imagine that? You know, praised be Jesus Christ. And then the other person responded, now and forever, amen. So, you know, the thing is, physical health is a very good, great good. It's a great good. But spiritual health and the salvation of a soul is even better, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And to this end, we must mend our ways, encourage one another, and live in peace with the Holy Trinity. Again, that's the feast day that's coming after this Sunday, a week from Sunday, but this Sunday we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. We'll speak about that tomorrow. But, you know, really, we've got to wake up, and we're so disoriented that, you know, we're grasping. And unless we put our hand in the hand of God, we're going to further find ourselves moving into this abyss of human degradation. And this is really, I don't know if anybody can deny it in this day and this time. So it's a time of grace, because it's, you know, return to God.
Mm-hmm.
He's the source of our life and the source of our peace. Okay, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. Time to hide.